Welcome to Meant to Win, a podcast for founders, visionaries, and leaders who are deeply aware that their life and work are meant to create a bigger impact. We're diving into real strategy, conscious leadership, and the internal identity work that allows you to create massive success. I'm your host, Dr. Stephanie Wigner, an author, speaker, and eight-figure entrepreneur who loves to take business strategy and combine it with the inner identity work that truly unlocks the next level for you. If you know you have a big calling for your life and your work is meant to help more people, then you're in the right place. Welcome back, you beautiful people. I am so excited because today I have a very, 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 very special guest for you. My husband, Kyle, aka Dr. Snack Daddy. Ooh, I'm adding doctor on there now.
I like it.
That's what you should be, Dr. Snack Daddy.
I feel like a doctor in this new space. We really up-leveled.
We up-leveled from recording in our office closet the first time you were ever on the podcast. What was it, 3 years ago?
I know, we're usually sharing a mic, like I'm all hunched up over you and all that stuff, but yeah, this is beautiful.
No, it's so nice. And I wanted to have you, now that we've rebranded the podcast to Meant to Win, and also we are such different people, and I would love for maybe even this to be a segment where I bring you on the podcast or I bring you on YouTube more often, because I think we are in this weird, not weird, but this like crazy vortex of growth and like so many things in our life changes on the daily basis that I think I would just love for us to share that journey a little bit more with people who care about it and who are inspired by it and who maybe can learn something from it. And also, I think that so much happens in our life in even like 90 days that we forget where we were and what happened. And that's really why I wanted to bring you on the podcast again, is because I want to share with everybody like what was one of the hard things that we went through in our marriage and how we navigated it, because I think a lot of people can resonate with it. I think that I just remember when we were going through it, though, we felt like nobody else understood what we were going through. You know, we felt like we were the only ones. And at that time we were. We didn't have anybody in our inner circle who was kind of navigating the same thing as us. And so we really felt like we were alone and figuring it out. And so I kind of just want to open the conversation for other people. Maybe they're navigating this in a different way, and just kind of share what we worked through, what some of the warning signs were, how we communicated it, and how we worked through it.
Yeah. A journey is a good word for it. You know, like we've been through it, been through everything together. You know, one of our biggest strong suits, I feel like, is our communication with each other. When we identify an issue, we immediately take action, right? So, and, you know, when you brought up the topic of what we were, like, my palms are sweaty right now, because it was one of the hardest times in our life. I mean, one of them was when you just started blowing up. And gonna get real vulnerable here today,
yeah, no,
right?
It's a like, very it's yeah, a very know? Vulnerable topic to invite strangers on the internet into this conversation and this part of our marriage, but we haven't talked about it before at all.
No, and it's funny because we give advice on it all the time, right? Like, it is a big problem in a lot of relationships where both people are working, especially where both people are working kind of in the same industry,
yeah,
in the same lane.
Or where they're both entrepreneurs, you know? Like, I think we've recorded episodes in the past too where we talked about stair-stepping. How did Steph and Kyle grow the empire that they have today, and how are they continuing to grow it? And it was always so calculated and linear. And it was like, Steph took a step, Kyle took a step. Steph took a step, Kyle took a step. And we just kind of stair-step back and forth. We teach couples how to stair-step, like leverage your skill sets, minimize the risk, you know, wait till somebody's secure and then you could take another risk. And we've taught people how to do that. And I think that works to a certain extent. And it absolutely works when you're building the foundation. The problem is, though, is that we spent the first 7 years of our marriage and our entrepreneurial career building the foundation. And then because of all of that work, because of all those reps, things just started escalating in our favor. And it was unprecedented growth, unlike anything we had ever had before. And I think I'm just going to go right into it. So I think that we had experience this linear growth, growth that made sense, 25%, 30%, 50% even. And we celebrated and we are excited. And then it was like, okay, it's time for Kyle to open another office. I mean, I remember summer of 2023 like it was yesterday, because it was a very traumatic summer for us. I mean, we had just opened your second clinic, so that took us from 3 locations to 4 locations. Shit was breaking left and right. We had a one and a half year old son at that point. We lost our nanny, and I had just launched the podcast. I was just really starting to get TWP up and growing, and it was really hard. But because you were opening the second practice, I could be kind of that default parent at home. Jethro was young, he was still nursing, and I was like, I'll figure it out at home until we get another nanny. And you were really all in on building the practice. And so once that practice finally got stabilized enough that you could kind of pull out again, is in 2024. And that's when I kind of went all in on coaching. You know, that's when I hosted Scale Up, the first ever event that I did. And then
you went from dabbling to diving.
I went from dabbling and being like, oh, I'm going to coach a few one-to-one people, and I'm going to, you know, just try this online thing and see how it works out, to.
And the stair-stepping is, I would go to work and try to build my stuff. Steph would go to work, try to build her stuff. When she got stable, then we would stair step up.
Yeah, and always like incremental growth. Mm-hmm. But the thing about incremental growth.
This was stair step, escalator to
rocket
the top
ship.
Floor. Yeah.
Here's the thing about quantum leaping too, is like, it's years and years of effort all of a sudden compounding, and then you're off on a rocket ship. And that's why I talk all the time. So I teach my clients, don't quit, don't give up when it gets hard, because you have no idea how this is going to pay off for you 2 years from now. And we live in a world where we want immediate gratification, we want immediate results, and that's just not the reality of doing business. A lot of the people that you see are successful have been in the game for a long time in some other realm. So even though I started coaching and started TWP in 2023, I had been privately coaching people before that on the side. And then once I hosted Scale Up in 2024, it was like all that work of 2024 really compounded in 2025. And I just remember, you know, while you were growing, I was growing, we both were growing, and we're both entrepreneurial minded. And you would see me in 2024 just clocking it. Like, you have vivid memories of me being in the office, building my business, like waking up really early.
Yeah, I mean, geez, I remember when you were sitting on the floor crying about not knowing how to build, like, you know, a VSL, mm-hmm. you know, crying. And then not only crying, but being like, I don't want to do this. This sucks. You remember what I said? I was like, then don't do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But no, I was like, my life is good. I have a business that is insanely profitable. I have a life I love. Like, why am I putting myself through this torture?
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, at the time, I didn't really understand it either. I mean, you were making good money with coaching, but it wasn't.
I mean, I was probably at like 25, 45K a month.
Yeah. But my point was, we're already happy. So if you are going from happy to unhappy and all of our bills are paid anyway, then why do it?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's all to say, man, you did put the work in. Mm-hmm. Early on, you know, and that growth compounded, but it compounded all at once, you know.
It compounded all at once. And I remember, like, the point that we're getting to, if you've been hanging out with us this long, is that, like, there became a season where it wasn't linear growth, and I all of a sudden was on a quantum leap, and we had never been there before. I had like my first 6-figure+ month in coaching. I think this was in 2024, honestly, shortly after Scale Up. And I was like, holy shit, Kyle, I'm on this rocket ship. And you were happy for me. And you were like, good job, babe. I'm so proud of you. But then it was like, it just kept growing. And then it was like 150K a month. And then it was like 160K. And then it was like 200K a month. And you were like getting a little triggered, I think.
Yeah, well, for those of you that haven't figured it out yet, we're obviously in a slightly competitive relationship, right?
So, slightly.
Yeah, I mean, it was always fun, you know.
No, I think this is important to talk about. You're right. Like, we have always, that's like one of the main things we are attracted to, because we're both winners.
Even so, in like, school, we were like, my technique's better. Your technique, you know, we would actually get into real fights about that stuff, you know. But I mean,
arguments about whose technique was better.
Yeah, but you know, we took that into our practices as well, right? You know, and we would stair step up, but then it would be joking, you know, like, oh, my month killed it.
Yeah,
and
I hit 80K. Like, what are you doing? Yeah, and then it's like,
and then
oh,
all
shoot.
Of a sudden, it's like, hey, I tripled what your month is. And then you would, you know, you'd want to talk about, obviously you want to talk about it, and you would love working. You would come in and you'd be like, man, I worked with this person today. I doubled their practice. This person's relationship is better because of the advice I gave them. And don't get me wrong, I love working at my practices. I love helping people, but
it wasn't
to
the extent.
The crap, the bullshit on the back end, you know, like I have to do my medical notes. I got to deal with people problems. I have, you know, staff members that have real personality issues, and you were killing it. And I was happy for you. And I couldn't really identify why I was so unhappy at the time.
Yeah, and I think
and
that
I was,
like
right?
It wasn't even that I was killing it. It's that like my happiness in building it was so different than what your current experience was, because you were also in a hard season of growing the practices. And you saw all of my effort paying off. And I think you were also feeling like the effort you were putting into the practices wasn't paying off. So it built a little bit of resentment. And I remember probably one of the biggest arguments we've ever had, which doesn't happen often. We truthfully don't argue that often. We are very level-headed. And if we disagree on something, it's like, okay, agree to disagree and like move on. Or like you said, if we have an issue, we sit down and we communicate it about right away. Like we don't push things off. Resentment is like not even a word that I would use in our relationship. But I started feeling after like the third or fourth month of like things just escalating quickly, of you starting to feel resentful. And, you know, we got into an argument and I was like, what the fuck is your problem? Like, why are you being such a dick? Like, why are you being mean? Like, this doesn't even make sense. And you were like, you're just on your high horse. Like, you think because you make all this money that like you could just whatever. And I was like, what are you talking about? I'm not on a high horse. And like, by the way, all this money that I make is for our family. Like, this is no Steph versus Kyle. This is like
I'm
the
like,
Bilquist.
I can't travel. I got the offices, or like, I don't want to be on social media. Like, I'm uncomfortable.
Well, you had
with
all
that.
Of these limiting beliefs that like my success,
like surface like, level excuses.
Well, it wasn't surface level excuses. It was my success triggered something inside of you. And your defense mechanism was to say like, I don't even want to be on social. I don't even want to be in the limelight. I don't even want to, you know, essentially be part of this is kind of what you were saying. You were like, you're working your ass off. I don't feel like I'm prioritized. You're like, you were like, I have the offices. You think that I could just travel all over the world with you and do everything. And I was like, kind of confused. Cause I'm like, well, yeah, I thought that's what we were building towards. And then I would get triggered because then I would be like, oh my God, are you saying I'm not a good wife and not a good mom? Because like, that's what I'm doing all this for, is like to change our lineage, to change like the generational trauma that you and I experienced, and just generational poverty too. Like I'm trying to rewrite that script, which obviously you knew, but in the moment when we were having an argument about it, it was like both of us were saying the same thing in a different way. And I think it took us like, truthfully, most of our arguments are resolved in like 30 minutes. That took us like a couple weeks of processing it and working through it and being like, okay, what's the real story? What's true? And so like, what do you think that you navigated during that?
Ego, basically. And I mean, I said it before, like we're really good at hearing each other's opinions on a situation. I was coming at it from a place of, yeah, I really don't want to be on social media. I don't want to be in the limelight. We're already living a good life. This is only going to bring in problems. I don't want to be in the spotlight. But really what it was underneath that you identified before I even saw it was my ego. You know, all guys are a little bit old school, right? Like, how can you even survive without me? Mm-hmm. I bring home the food. I bring that all home. Like, what, you get on a couple of phone calls and you triple my net worth in a year? I'm like, what the hell is going on? It was damaging my ego. Mm-hmm. But the ego is smart, right? Like it won't let me know that it's ego. It'll say, oh, Kyle, remember, you don't like to be on camera. You don't like to put yourself out there, you know? You don't like to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And I worked on that, obviously, right? Like, but, yeah, I mean, I didn't even know I was dealing with my ego
at the time.
It took that
Well, it took us like fight, having that argument. Yeah.
Because I mean, I broke down on that conversation. Yeah. I cried. I was like, I'm starting to well up right now thinking about it, because I mean, being married to you, like, that's one of the biggest perks if you take it the right way, that honesty. You know what I mean? No, the directness. It's why you have such great staff and such great people around you. It's because really good people can take that direction and then move with it in the right direction. And I mean, I'm one of those people. But the hard part was after I did figure out that it was ego, I started to rewind and I was like, how stupid am I? And also, how much like turmoil did that actually save in my life? And who else am I doing this to now? Am I doing this to my staff? Am I holding my staff back because I don't want them to be better than me? If I put a doctor in my clinic, do I want them to be worse than me? That doesn't make any sense. And then like, what turmoil did that save me from? Was I going to do that to my son? What if my son's a better football player, whatever.
Yeah, than me? Anything.
Anything. Like, what did you save me with that conversation? And it wasn't overnight, right? Like after the conversation, like I broke down and I don't know. It was like a legit fight. Like we, you know, talked back and forth or whatever.
But I think at the end of that conversation though, I also was like, I think you needed to hear, and where I wasn't acknowledging your feelings in it is that you wanted to be invited in more, but because you were kind of being a dick and standoffish, I was like, well, fuck you. I'm not gonna tell you what's going on in the business. Like, I'm not gonna bring things to you and you not be excited for me, or like, because you are such an advisor to me in my life. Like, I care about your opinion probably more than anybody's opinion. And I always come to you and you've always guided me in the right way. You always give me excellent advice. It's crazy, like we're both projectors. So if you're into human design, like we each can see things that the other person cannot see in our own unique way. And so I always come to you. You're always advising me. And you're always like loving and warm and celebratory. And so for you to have this guard up about me and like kind of what I was experiencing, instead of me being like, oh, I wonder why Kyle's guard is up, I was like, well, fuck you. You're going to be a dick. Like, I'm not going to talk to you about things. And so like, then I kind of shut off, you know? Yeah. And in reality, what you were wanting was, I think, one, to be even more included and like to feel like you were a part of what I was building too. And I think you were saying, hey, this company is important, but like me and your son are also important. And I just need affirmation from you that this thing has no limits. We're seeing that in real time. Like, you're going to take this to the moon. I need to know that like, we're also going to still be a priority when that happens. Like, we're not getting left behind. I think that, not that you were worried about getting left behind, but it was like a fear of like, because things are so good, are we going to be able to protect this at the next level?
Yeah, it's a good point, because it's fun. You took like immediate action when I would like bring those things up. There was like that second layer to the buildup to that argument, right? Because I'd be like, well, you're not, you know, spend enough time, you're on your phone at night. And then you'd be like, fine, I'm just going to like stop being on my phone at night. And I'd be like, well, shit, that didn't fix anything. you got to see your kid in the morning. Like, don't get up and just pick up your phone. And so you stop doing that. I'm like, well, shit, I was like, well, that must not be it. And then I remember when that fight started, I was like, man, I'm just not, I don't know. Like, you're like, why are you being such a dick? And it happened a couple of times, but this one was like the one.
A blow up.
And I was like, I don't fucking know. I was like, I'm not happy at my job. You're happy every time you come. It was jealousy. It was, you call it what you want. But thank God we did it, right? Mm-hmm. Thank God we had that tough conversation.
Well, and I literally said to you, I was like, listen, if this is going to make you unhappy, or it's going to compromise anything with you, our relationship, it's going to compromise our family unit, it's going to compromise my son, like, by the way, I won't build it. You have my full commitment that I will not build it.
Yeah. And just in case you're out there listening to this stubborn and you're like, F that, like, I don't want my people in my life to hit my dreams. Like, could you imagine if I was like, yeah, I don't build it, you know? And by the way, also when you're sitting on the floor, coming up with your, like learning the VSL and learning all the backends and learning all the computer stuff that goes into it, And I'm sitting there holding your hand and helping you and, you know, putting my hand through your hair and telling you, like, it's all going to be good. Like, you're going to figure this out. You're smart. You can do this. People need you. I mean, do I not want you to succeed at that point? It's like, no, I want you to succeed, but just a little bit, you know, like, I just want you to, like, be, you know, even with me or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't want you to absolutely crush it and help all these people. Just stupid man, you know, like, I don't have that thought process, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean,
I think though, after that though, you know, and I said to you in the middle of the argument, I was like, just cause you're not happy with yourself, don't take your shit out on me. This is not a Stephanie issue. This is a Kyle issue.
Yeah, that's what got me.
And then you were like, basically told me to fuck off.
Yeah, I agree.
Because you were like, but it's like, that's what you're saying. Like, you've always loved my directness. Mm-hmm. And my ability to see through your shit and you see through my shit. And that's why.
Well, you hit the nail on the head and I didn't like it. I was like, yeah, you know.
And so I think that, you know, we both were mad that night. And I don't like, we were like, OK, whatever. We're not going to reach like a common ground tonight. And so I knew that about you, though. Like, you are my number one supporter. You are my number one fan. You know, TWP literally wouldn't exist without you. And so it was also like, okay, well, I'm not going to build this thing that brings me so much joy and happiness if you're not on board. But I also was like, it's not even true that you're not on board. It's like internal shit for yourself that you have to fix. Because like when you wake up in the morning, you're gonna be like, what do you got on the calendar today, babe? Like, what are some other wins? Like, share it with me, you know? And so like, I knew you weren't at your most highest authentic self. And that's why I think that was, you know, something that like took time to fix, because you had to go internally and figure out like, what is actually true? And I actually don't mean these things. I'm kind of like lashing out right now, or like, this isn't even actually what I want. So what's true? If I'm truly unhappy with myself and I know no matter what, I don't want to hold my partner back, what do I have to fix on myself? Like, how could I find more joy in my day? And so I think too, the steps, if you are navigating that in a relationship, or whether one of you is a W-2, an entrepreneur, or you're both entrepreneurs, or you're both W-2s, but one of you is escalating quicker, it's like finding the warning signs before the resentment builds up, right? And so like, if one of your partners stops sharing their wins with you, that should be a warning sign, especially if you have a relationship like we do, where we pretty much talk all day, every day, share everything, share the good, the bad, what we're navigating. It's like, if somebody in the relationship stops bringing that, you should probably figure out why, you know? And then the next thing I would say also is like, start building an opportunity inside of your relationship to talk about these things on a regular basis. Because we both work from home, we see each other a lot, but our days are so busy, like, we don't necessarily have time to sit down and have these emotional conversations. And then you throw kids in the mix and it's even harder. And so we have just gotten better recently about having more emotional check-in meetings to be able to see like, hey, is there anything lingering from you from the week? Is there anything lingering from me?
You got to schedule that too.
Yeah. Because we wouldn't get
like,
it done.
We're going to do it, you know, whenever. And yeah. It'd be a month later.
And now there's been times where you're like, hey babe, it's Sunday. Like, we need to do our afternoon or our weekly check-in, you know?
I love it. Yeah.
No, it's so helpful. Mm-hmm. And, I think the other thing is to know, like, when your ego is showing up, it's exactly what you said. Like, it's not going to be, oh, hey, this is your ego. It's going to be resentment, resistance. It's going to be like, I've already done the work. Like, there's nothing wrong with me. Like, I can always tell, especially when I get on a call with a client or like any of our friends or our colleagues, like, I can always tell when somebody says like, oh no, I've already done that. And it's like, oh, like, I don't think I'm a master at the inner work, you know, the inner work is always evolving. And so I think that's what you realized that was kind of a warning sign, is that you were like, oh, I think we're encountering a new season of our life and it's time for me to go deeper into myself and feel and figure out like where the resistance is actually coming from.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you are unhappy in a situation multiple days in a row, there's something lingering there, right? Like, you're not allowed to just be unhappy. Is it something that's if it's something that's out of your control, something that's bothering you at work, or like, you know, you have to put up with your boss or something like that, obviously that's a little bit different, right? If you have to put up with it to get your paycheck, whatever it might be. But if you get home and you see your kid and your wife and like happiness doesn't fill you, then don't wait for somebody to call you out on it like I did. Like, just check in with yourself. And then nothing good comes from not taking action, right? Like, nothing good comes from not taking action. So whether it's super hard, and I'm going through hardship right now, and it's going to make my next month brutal. But I can make my next month brutal, or I can, you know, not do it and have a mediocre next month, a mediocre next year.
Yeah, you know what that's I mean? The thing. You're going to extend the mediocrity for longer. And I think...
Right. So doing the hard work after you called me out on that. And like, for me, the hard work was... Listen to part two. No. For me, the hard work...
Well, I think we're going to get into like where we're at right now. But like, how did you move through that? Because this was like almost 2 years ago at this point. So how did you move through that? Is I think you went and you were like, why am I unhappy? And you're like, I got people on my team taking advantage of me, you know? And like, so like, what are some of the things that you realized where your unhappiness was coming from?
Yeah, I think I got some really good advice once. And they were like, the issue's not going to go away. It's like, it was deeply embedded in me, right? But I could recognize the trigger that caused the issue. And if I recognize the trigger that causes the issue, and I know it's silly, I can keep doing that. So I did that over the next couple of weeks. It wasn't like my mood was just different when I woke up the next day. The ego was still there, but every single time it started to show up and I started to, you know, feel a little bit of that resentment, I could catch myself, look at it and be like, okay, this is silly. Mm-hmm. What that does is over time it beats ego on the head and it knocks it lower and lower and lower down. And now it's like non-existent. I mean, it still pops up from time.
Well, we all have a little bit of ego, right? Yeah.
It's an emotion, you know?
Yeah.
But that's what worked for me. Now, I'm super smart, right? I'm super smart and intelligent. So like, no, I'm just joking. That's what works for me. I mean, different things work for different people. It's hard for me to give advice.
But I think there was a season, like, I think that what I want you to get to is like, yes, you recognize that it was ego, which is important. You have to like lean into the triggers. I talk about this all the time, leaning into the trigger. But you also said you took action. So not only that, you were like, where else am I unhappy? Okay, I'm not prioritizing myself. I'm not prioritizing. Part of the reason you're upset is because you were like, what makes Steph happy? What makes Jethro happy? What makes my offices happy? What makes my team happy? What makes my parents
That's the
happy?
Truth. At the time too, I mean, what was throwing kind of, you know, fuel on the fire is like our lives were changing rapidly on the back end too. And I didn't have like the systems in place. I didn't have, really things in place to go from having one clinic that I was pseudo working at and four people tugging on my shirt to now over 10 people with an internal billing department and you guys at home and, you know, the time it was taking you to build yours. So that helped, right? Because that was dumping fuel on the fire too on the back end, because I was
we were managing more than we ever had before.
Yeah, and I didn't really know how. I had to learn all that, right? So like, I'm looking at you just explode through the roof and I'm sitting here trying to just, hey Kyle, what do I do with this? What do I do with this? And I'm trying to like catch all these things. So yeah, I had to pause too. I had to say, okay, like, where am I broken? Where am I broken in my own life too? Because that was all that chaos was adding into it, if that's the question.
Yeah, I think also too, like, you are such a nurturer and a caretaker by design, and you were starting every day like, okay, what's going to make the team at the offices happy? What's going to make Steph and Jethro happy today? Like, how can I be the most supportive to everyone? But you also were like neglecting what you needed in that season. And it was like, you felt, actually, here's what I think it is. You felt like you had to sacrifice yourself in order to support me.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, why can't we both have what we need and want during this season? And like, why can't we hire you more support at the offices? Why can't we hire more support at home? And it was like, because we had never been at that level before with that many businesses, with that many employees, it was dysregulating season as is. And we almost were like, oh, we have to choose. And it was like, no, we don't have to choose. It's not like Kyle has to hate his life for 6 months while Steph is building something, you know? He can also enjoy the process. And so I think you getting really clear on what you needed during that season and actually being vocal about it, because you're the first one in our relationship too, to be like, yeah, no, I'm good, babe, whatever you need. And I also had to realize, like, oh, just because he tells me he's good doesn't mean it's true. Like, yeah. I have to dig a little bit deeper and figure out how I can support you too.
Indirect communication. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm good at. You're good at direct. I'm good at indirect.
You've gotten so much better, I would say.
I have. I've taken notes over the years. But then, yeah, I mean, that's spot on, everything you said.
And then really, I just remember, like, kind of the weeks of us working through this. And, like, I think it was, like, about 3 to 4 weeks that we worked through this. And you coming to me and you being like, who do we know where the wife is just making an insane amount of money, and what used to be viewed as good is no longer good because now we have a new Richter scale of making money. And where can I go talk to those men? And I was like, I don't know anybody. And you're like, yeah, me either. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and that is why that also felt so isolating, I think, for both of us, is like we didn't have anybody that we could lean on and be like, how did you navigate this? It's usually the opposite way, where the husband's crushing it and the woman's like sacrificing herself at home, you know? Sure. Or it's like, one of them's a stay-at-home parent and the other one's crushing it so naturally. But it was like we both were navigating businesses, both successful by all means. But then all of a sudden I was on this quantum leap and it was like there was just emotions and feelings that came up. And like actually shout out to Zach and Liz, because even though they didn't understand it, I feel like they were a huge support for us during that, and just having true confidence in us and like being a confident for us where we could be like, listen, guys, this is what we're navigating. Can we like share it with you? And you guys offer a different perspective for us. And they actually really helped us during that. And that was super helpful. But I also know that like when we wrap that up and we got to talk about our feelings, and there was multiple tears shed on both ends as we were navigating it, I just remember you being like, okay, I'm so good. I feel way better about this. And I'm not going to be the one that holds you back from the next level. So like go out and fucking crush it, because I know what's possible. I'm like seeing it on the horizon. And you went right back to being like believing in me more than I believed in myself. And like, you know, telling me that I was playing too small. It's like, so that's the thing. It was just a small blimp. I think sometimes people in a marriage especially don't understand where the other partner's coming from. And so they take it as absolute truth instead of digging 3 or 4 layers deeper. And I just knew that was out of character for you. I knew that behavior was out of character for you. I knew that that's not how you actually felt. And so I just want to share that with people. Maybe, you know, if your spouse is saying something, it's like, what do they actually mean? Do they just want more time with you? Are they just scared of what it means for them? Are they, you know, nervous? Are they in protective mode? Like, what is it? But I just remember after that, you being like, okay, now go crush it. And then
you did.
Now I would be mad if I made 100K a month, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Next, I want to talk about, though, like where we're at currently, because again, that was a couple years ago. And I think since then, things have been escalating rapidly in our favor. So come back for part two. If something in this episode resonated with you today, trust that it wasn't random. It wasn't an accident. Growth doesn't come from doing more. It comes from becoming more. If you know you're meant for a bigger life, a bigger impact, and success that actually truly feels aligned with you, then you're being called forward. This is your opportunity.